This is Chris.
And this is Jim.
And this is Double Dome Digitally Speaking.
Enjoy the show.
So, I want you to imagine something for a second. Imagine walking into your CFO's office, taking like $15,000 in cold hard cash and just putting it directly through a heavy duty paper shredder.
Oh, wow. Just straight into the shredder.
Right into the shredder. Yeah. And then, you know, you look up at him and say, don't worry, my gut tells me this is going to generate a lot of great brand awareness.
Yeah, that probably wouldn't go over too well.
Not at all. But here's the crazy part. If you are managing a marketing team right now and you are building your upcoming content calendar based on, you know, what your editorial team just feels like writing about, the data we are unpacking today suggests you are essentially plugging in that paper shredder yourself.
It sounds incredibly harsh, I know, but it really is the reality of our current digital ecosystem. I mean, that editorial instinct, getting a few smart people in a conference room to brainstorm what the industry might want to read next month, that used to be standard operating procedure. But now it is a massive financial liability.
Which is exactly what we are tearing into today.
Welcome to the Deep Dive, everyone. We are looking at a highly specific, very wake-up call kind of article from Double Dome Digital Marketing. It was written by Joe Medico, and it's titled April Trends for May, Content Search Trend SEO Content.
It's a fantastic read.
It really is. And for anyone out there trying to keep a business visible online, the mission of our deep dive today is to really figure out why traditional content planning is just collapsing in this, what the author calls the 2026 reality. And more importantly, how you can build a proactive growth engine using real-time search data.
Because the alternative is just, well, getting swallowed by the AI slump.
Yes, the AI slump. Okay, let's unpack this $15,000 mistake first. Because it feels like building a content calendar on gut feeling today is basically like throwing darts while blindfolded.
That's exactly what it is. The stakes are just entirely different now. When you just guess what people want, your organic traffic inevitably flatlines. And, you know, businesses see that flatline, they start to panic, and they immediately just start buying ads to compensate.
Right, they try to buy their way out of the problem.
Exactly. And the author makes a brilliant distinction here. She points out that buying ads is simply renting your presence.
Renting, I like that.
Yeah, because the second you stop paying Google or the social platforms, your visibility just vanishes completely. Owning your market, on the other hand, means building data-backed authority. You don't have to pay a toll for every single visitor.
So effectively, if you aren't using the search data from, say, April, to inform exactly what you publish in May, you are actually building a business asset. You are just like adding to the noise.
You're just tossing more words into the void.
But let me play devil's advocate for a second here. Because, I mean, we have an entire history of publishing that says the exact opposite.
Sure.
Like, legendary editors built massive media empires entirely on their intuition. They just knew what the public wanted before the public even knew it. So why is that editorial instinct suddenly a massive red flag today?
Because the distribution mechanism has fundamentally changed. I mean, editorial instinct was incredibly valuable when distribution was scarce.
Okay, scarce how?
Well, think about it. If you were competing against like three other magazines on a physical newsstand, or maybe a handful of prominent blogs in a specific niche, a really sharp editorial angle was your main differentiator. You were fighting for human attention in a very limited pool.
Right. It was human to human.
Exactly. But in the 2026 reality, you are not pitching your content directly to human readers first anymore. You are pitching it to large language models and AI-driven search engines, and then they decide if a human should even see it.
And, an algorithm obviously doesn't care about an editor's gut feeling.
Not at all.
It only cares about the math.
Precisely. It only cares about the math. And that brings us to the AI slump we mentioned earlier. A lot of businesses right now are experiencing this terrifying phenomenon where their top-of-funnel traffic just, well, drops off a cliff.
And it's not because their content suddenly got worse.
Right. No, not at all. Their evergreen content, you know, those core pages explaining their services or basic FAQs, those are still fine. But generative AI is now answering those basic questions directly in the search interface. So the user gets their answer and they never actually click through to your site.
Okay, so if the AI is just cannibalizing all that basic traffic and traditional SEO is basically dead, what actually replaces it? The article points to this thing called search trend SEO content, but how does that actually bypass this new AI gatekeeper?
By giving the AI something it desperately needs but doesn't have yet, Search trend SEO content isn't just regular writing. It's content strategically created to capture very specific topics that are showing a measurable, verifiable increase in search volume over just the last 30 days.
Let me try to visualize this.
Yeah.
Think about a public library.
Okay, a library.
Your evergreen content is like the library's permanent collection. Mm-hmm. It is foundational, it covers the classics, it explains your core business. But search trend SEO content is more like that staff picks display right at the front doors.
Oh, I see where you're going.
Right. It changes constantly based on the news cycle, current events, or whatever is suddenly popular.
Mm-hmm.
And in this scenario, the AI algorithm is the librarian. It's pointing everyone rushing through the doors directly to that immediate, highly relevant display instead of the dusty archives in the back.
That is a phenomenal analogy. It gets right to the underlying mechanism of why this strategy actually works. AI models, whether we're talking about ChatGPT or Google Gemini, they prioritize two things above all else when they decide what to cite.
And those are?
Recent context and information gain.
Information gain. Okay, let's really dig into that because it sounds like one of those marketing buzzwords that just gets thrown around a lot. What does information gain actually mean on a technical level?
So technically speaking, a large language model mathematically scores your text against its existing training data. If you write a generic blog post about, say, the benefits of cloud computing, the semantic similarity to what the AI already knows is incredibly high.
Because it's read a million posts just like that.
Exactly. There is zero new information there. So mathematically, it just ignores you. But information gain means you are introducing a newly validated entity, maybe a fresh statistic, or an entirely new angle that just wasn't in its primary training set.
Ah, okay. So if you publish a deep dive into a very specific micro topic, like something that just spiked 20% in search volume month over month, you are sending a mathematical signal to the AI.
Yes.
You are basically providing new nodes of data that it's hungry for.
You are telling it that your business is the absolute most relevant, up-to-date authority on this newly rising issue. The AI engines are obsessed with giving their users the best, most current answer possible.
Right.
So when you provide that data-backed, highly relevant recent context, the AI cites you as the source. It uses your information to build its answer, and it leaves the generic, instinct-driven fluff from your competitors entirely out of the equation.
Wow. So you are basically reverse engineering the AI's appetite for fresh data. I love the logic of this. You aren't just writing to hit some arbitrary publishing quota. You're filling a newly formed, very specific gap in the internet's knowledge base.
Exactly.
But I have to stop you here because, let's be real, the execution of this sounds like an absolute nightmare for a typical marketing department.
Why a nightmare?
Well, you're telling me a busy marketing team needs to completely pivot their content calendar every 30 days based on real-time data analysis. I mean, anyone who has ever opened a Google Analytics dashboard knows it is a complete labyrinth.
That is very true.
You can get lost in spreadsheets for a week just trying to figure out where your traffic came from yesterday. How does a team actually execute a 30-day turnaround without the data analysis just consuming all of their time?
It is a very valid fear. Being data-backed often translates to endless paralysis by analysis for a lot of teams. But this is where the author of the source material provides a massive shortcut.
Okay, I'm listening.
So Jo Medico designed what she calls a guru insight. It's essentially a monthly trend audit that takes under 1 hour to complete.
Wait, under 1 hour to map out an entire month's strategy? I am highly skeptical.
I get it, but it really helps to know where this is coming from. Jo Medico is a director of client services at Double Dome. She manages multiple accounts. She's a busy mom. Her bio actually specifically mentions she loves getting offline to hit the beach or, you know, check out local cafes with her son.
Okay, so she's a real person, not a robot.
Right. She isn't interested in being chained to a massive spreadsheet all weekend, and she knows her clients definitely aren't either. So she designed a hyper-focused three-step method that just cuts out all the vanity metrics completely.
All right, let's get into it then. Walk us through the three steps. How do we actually do this in under an hour?
Okay, step one starts in Google Search Console, or GSC. You pull up your queries from the previous month, but you aren't looking at your top performing keywords.
What are you looking for then?
You are scanning for a very specific anomaly. You want to find queries that have high impressions but terribly low click-through rates.
Wait, high impressions and low clicks. Usually people see a low click-through rate and just assume they failed. Why is that a goldmine here?
think about the mechanism of what is actually happening there. A high impression means a human buyer is actively searching for this specific term right now, and Google is deciding your website is relevant enough to show it to them in the results.
Okay.
But the low click-through rate means that when the user actually reads your headline or your little snippet, they pass right by you.
Because whatever page of yours is ranking isn't actually answering the specific nuance of their question.
Exactly. Let's use a concrete example. Imagine you run a B2B SaaS company that sells HR and payroll software. It's late April. You look at your GSE queries and you see a massive spike in impressions for something like, how does the new 2026 gig worker law affect payroll taxes?
Oh, that's a very specific problem.
Right, but your click-through rate is near zero. Why? Yeah. Because the page that Google is ranking on your site is just a generic guide to payroll taxes from 2024. The user sees that old date or they see the generic title and they just scroll right past.
So that gap between their intent and your existing content, that is your roadmap. You've just identified exactly what your buyers are confused about right now.
Spot on. So that is step one. Find the high impression gaps.
Okay, that makes total sense. You find out where people are looking at your storefront but not actually walking through the door.
Yeah.
What's step two?
Step two takes those specific gaps and validates them in Google Trends. You plug in those concepts and you look for breakout terms related to them. And in this 2026 reality, a breakout term is almost never a short one-word keyword like payroll.
It's longer.
Much longer. It is a rising consultative question.
Consultative question, meaning it's a full thought, like a specific problem they need an actual consultant to solve for them.
Yes. Following our SaaS example, the breakout term wouldn't just be gig worker law. It would be something like, do I need to issue 1099s weekly under the new gig worker compliance?
Wow. Okay. Highly specific, high intent queries. You take the gap you found on your own site, and you use Google Trends to see exactly how the broader market is phrasing that confusion.
Exactly. Which brings us to step three, and this is the most critical part of the execution. You map those rising questions to preferred answer scenarios.
And here's where it gets really interesting, because we have to be super clear here. You aren't just taking that question and handing it to a copywriter to write some rambling 1,000-word blog post, are you?
Not at all. The source explicitly mandates that you draft this content using the answer block format. This is absolutely vital because LLMs do not read the way humans read.
Okay, break down the answer block for us. What does it actually look like structurally, and why does the AI even care?
So an answer block is a specific structural formatting designed entirely for machine readability. LLMs parse data linearly, and they are hunting for high information density nodes.
Okay.
So instead of a clever, winding introduction with a bunch of fluff, an answer block starts with an H2 or H3 header that poses the exact consultative question verbatim.
Just the exact question. Boom.
Boom. And immediately below that, you provide a concise, factual paragraph, usually just 40 to 60 words, that directly answers the question without any buildup.
Just the facts.
Just the facts. And then you might follow that up with a bulleted list of maybe 3 supporting data points.
Wow, so you are literally formatting the data as a neatly packaged puzzle piece. You find the exact question your buyers are suddenly anxious about using the real-time data, and then you structure the solution in the precise HTML format that ChatGPT or Google Gemini wants to ingest.
You are removing all the friction. When the AI is asked that new question by a human user, it scans its index, finds your perfectly formatted, highly dense answer block that contains the recent context it lacks, and it lifts your answer directly, citing your brand as the source.
It's brilliant because it completely removes the ego from the writing process.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't about, you know, what I want to creatively say to the market. It's just about what the machine needs to serve the market.
Exactly.
But let's zoom out to the executive level for a second, because having a clever mechanism for getting an AI citation is fascinating, but it has to actually translate to revenue,
yeah.
Right? The CFO isn't going to care about an AI citation if it doesn't make money.
Right. And this is where the article draws a very hard line in the sand regarding how success is actually measured. It provides this great comparison table that contrasts the legacy methods of editorial guesswork against this new 2026 search trend strategy. And the core difference revolves around something called topic velocity.
Let's define topic velocity for everyone, because I know that isn't a standard metric most dashboards feature.
Sure. Think of topic velocity as the speed and efficiency with which your brand identifies an emerging market question, covers it, and establishes authority on it. In the legacy method, you know, the gut feeling approach, your topic velocity is incredibly stagnant.
Because you're guessing.
Right. You are writing about things the market probably settled on 2 years ago. And because of that, the AI perceives your content as generic. Now, you might attract some leads, but they are going to be broad, top-of-funnel, tire-kicker leads who are just doing basic research.
Tire kickers. And because you are attracting tire kickers, your CEO dashboard is just full of those notorious vanity metrics. The classic, hey, look, we got 1,000 page views and a bunch of social likes, but somehow sales are down this quarter.
Exactly the problem. But when you switch to the 2026 strategy, your topic velocity becomes high growth. You are answering the market's anxieties the moment they form. The AI perceives your domain as a dynamic, citation-worthy entity. And most importantly, because you are answering highly specific, consultative questions, the leads you attract have immediate commercial intent.
So what does this all mean? To go back to our HR software example, someone searching for a generic guide to payroll is a tire kicker.
Right.
But someone searching for how to automate weekly 1099s for the new 2026 compliance law is actively looking to buy a solution right now.
Yes. And that fundamental shift completely changes the conversation you have with your leadership. The source text points out that business leaders have zero patience for confusing algorithm update talk.
None at all.
They do not care about core web vitals or semantic indexing. They want a transparent dashboard reality. They want to look at a screen and see a simple equation. I spent X dollars and I made Y dollars.
Yeah, and by eliminating the guesswork of what to write, you eliminate the wasted spend on content that literally no one is looking for. Mm-hmm. You're tying every hour of your marketing output directly to high-intent buyer behavior. That is how you draw a straight line from content creation to ROI.
It moves your entire team from being reactive, you know, chasing trends 6 months after your competitors have already exhausted them, to actually operating a proactive growth engine.
A growth engine powered entirely by the market's own momentum. Which brings us to the core takeaway for everyone listening to this deep dive today. If you take one thing back to your team this week, let it be this. Stop chasing traffic with outdated ideas.
Yeah.
If your content calendar is built on editorial assumptions, you are playing a game that just doesn't exist anymore. Your strategy must be anchored to what your buyers are searching for right now, this month, using the specific data trails they leave behind.
Absolutely. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the broader implication here is how deeply generative AI is forcing us to just rewire our daily workflows.
Yeah.
We are officially past the era where you could simply outpublish your competition by sheer volume. You can't just flood the zone with mediocre blog posts anymore. AI engines don't care about your volume. They care about precision.
Right.
They care about who possesses the most current, information-dense answer to the user's immediate question. Adapting to this isn't just some neat little SEO hack. It is a fundamental evolution in how a business communicates its relevance to the world.
It is a total paradigm shift. But, you know, it also leaves me with a lingering thought that I want to pose to you, the listener, as we wrap up today's dive.
Let's hear it.
We spent a lot of time today talking about the mechanics of the answer block, right? Formatting your content perfectly so you become the preferred AI citation. But let's look down the road a bit. As we move deeper into this 2026 reality, what happens if every smart business correctly implements this exact one-hour data-driven audit?
Oh, that's a great question.
Right. Like, what happens when five different competing companies all identify the exact same breakout term on the very same day? They all find the gap, and they all write the technically perfect answer block, loaded with information gain.
It creates a fascinating bottleneck.
Exactly. If everyone executes the technical playbook flawlessly, how will the AI models ultimately decide which perfect answer actually gets cited? Will authority eventually revert back to good old-fashioned brand trust and real-world offline reputation? Or will it just become this increasingly microscopic technical arms race to see who can format their HTML just slightly better?
It's a critical dilemma for the industry to solve, because if everyone has the exact same GPS and the exact same map, who actually wins the race?
It is a tension that is going to define the next era of digital marketing, and it is definitely something to keep a very close eye on. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We will catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed today's topic.
Be sure to like, comment, and follow us.
And check out our other shows all related to digital marketing.
Whether you're a web designer, Google Ads specialist, or a small business owner, we've got a show that'll help you get clarity on what's trending now in digital marketing.
And if you need help,
with 25 years of experience across 30 plus industries and thousands of projects, we deliver ruthlessly effective Google Ads, SEO, and omnichannel digital marketing campaigns.
Learn how you can get consistent leads in 30 days or less using our proven digital marketing strategies.
Contact us at doubledome.com to set up a free consultation.